reading from the book of Ezekiel chapter 37 verses 1 to 14. The valley of the dry bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, this was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into this land that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." This is the word of God.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be part of your chapel service this morning, and it's a privilege, Dr. Floyd and Dr. Iam, to be invited here at your chapel service and share the word of God to you. And not only that, but I would like also to share part of the ministry as that the Lord has entrusted to me. As Dr. Floyd Cunningham introduced me, I'm also serving as a field strategy coordinator for the Philippines and the Micronesia. So basically, I am serving the islands in the Pacific area. And when Dr. Floyd asked me to be part of your chapel service and invited me to share the God's message, I'm just reflecting on what should I share to a group of people who are already, you know, master the Bible and master the Word of God. And I think, wow, I'm in trouble because these are theologians that I am and teachers that I am speaking to. But I just take this as a privilege, as an honor to share to you what the Lord has put in my heart and what the Lord is doing through the Church of the Nazarene here in the Philippines and the Micronesia. And the Lord has brought me to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. And when I was looking and studying the passage, the vision brought me to some of the, you know, some of the movie that I've seen on television or on DVD. Maybe you are familiar with the movie of Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator. You know, the opening scene is there's a group of Terminators, robots, and they are walking on a battlefield after a nuclear holocaust, and all those robots or Terminators are walking and crashing all the bones that are lying on the ground. I'm just imagining, maybe that's how, you know, the Valley of the Dry Bones look like when we talk about the modern days. The Lord has also given me the opportunity to visit Phnom Penh in Cambodia, and my friend brought me to the killing field, and there were lots of bones, skulls, basically put on a plastic or glass shelves cabinet, and you can see that there were more than 10,000 people who were killed just in that killing fields. So the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones probably is a very familiar passage in the scripture, and I'm not sure, but I imagine that this is not the first time that you have heard this passage. Probably you have heard this several times spoken or preached here at the chapel, or maybe during revival services in the church. Yet we need to remember that God is speaking primarily to the nation of Israel, as seen that in as the Lord has spoken that in verse 11, which it says there where he said to Elijah, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel.' They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off.'" Well, God is speaking to Israel because God sees them as a dead nation. He promises this dead nation that a day will come when he will raise them up from the dead and use them again for his glory. So this is basically, can these bones live? You know, I was looking for a picture of what a valley of dry bones would look like, and thank God for Google and internet, and we have this picture, and it's creepy. I'm thinking, should I show this to the church? It looks like very creepy, but I think this is a good picture, a representation of a dry the valley of the dry bones. When Ezekiel received this vision, he found himself surrounded by the bones of the dead. Everywhere he looked, he saw dead people. The bones speak of death. Since so many bones were in one place, it may be that Ezekiel saw the aftermath of a great battle. It is probably just like what I saw you, told you about the killing fields of Cambodia. Ezekiel saw a hopeless situation. He saw darkness. He saw grief and sorrow. If that is the case, Ezekiel must have broken his heart of that vision and of that picture. You know, one of the worst insults of a Jew could suffer was to be denied a proper burial. Here is the valley filled with the bones of the dead, defeated by their enemies and left there to be rotten. And Ezekiel saw a vision of death on a massive scale. And not only that is a valley of bones, but the bones Ezekiel saw is also very dry. You know, the heat of the sun already consumed the substance, the moisture of all those bones. It is very dry. In that dead, dry condition, they were fit for nothing. It is just wasteland. They were absolutely useless. You know, the Lord showed defeat of the nation of Israel to Ezekiel. The nation was defeated and had reached a place where they saw no way of their captivity and no hope for their future. It is a hopeless case. In sense, they were not living. They are literally dead. They were merely existing, or probably they are just the movie again, The Living Dead, where everyone is living like zombies. Ezekiel saw their hopelessness and was moved by it. You know, last week we were visiting the islands of the Federated State of Micronesia. And I spent several days in the island of Chuuk, where I would like to invite you to the island of Chuuk. Not literally go there, but now I would like to invite you. And I would like to walk you through briefly of what the island looks like. Thank you, Dr. Floyd, for the privilege of allowing me to speak what the Lord is doing in the Federated State of Micronesia. Yesterday morning, I have the opportunity to be part of the faculty devotion, and I've shared to them the situation in the Federated States of Micronesia, and thought that I would like also to share just a part of the Federated State of Micronesia, and I would like to invite you to the island of Chuuk. So welcome to Chuuk, or also known as Truk, because during the time when the Japanese colonized the island of Chuuk, they could not pronounce the CH, so they always refer as a Truk. So when other people came, they at the course of time, the word or the island name Chuuk became Truk. But actually, Chuuk is one of the four states of the federated state of Micronesia. The other states are Kosrae, Panapay, and Yap. And these are the different states in the island of Chuuk. Chuuk means high mountains. There are not lots of high mountains there, but in the eyes of the Chuukis, the mountain is high. It's like about 100 feet high. It's not very high, but for them, that is the highest mountain they have. And so they call their island Chuuk, which means high mountains. It is the most populous island in the FSM, or the Federated State of Micronesia States, with just more than 50,000 individuals. They're already populated. Wow, Pastor Bong, that's only one barangay or one village in the Philippines. But in the Federated State of Micronesia, they are the most populated island. The size of the main island of Chuuk is about 40 miles in diameter. So it's like about 65 kilometers. So it's not a big island. If you go around the island, it will take you about 1.5 hours to drive around the island. But unfortunately, there are no roads around the island. So there's just one direction from one tip to the other, but there's no road going around the island. So you have to hike if you want to go around the island. You know, there are three types of foreigners that goes to the island of Chuuk. The first type, okay, maybe let's look at the map. So where is Chuuk, by the way? This is the Philippines. This is where we are. And just across us is this tiny island called the Federated State of Micronesia. And Chuuk is just over there. Yap is there, Panapay and Kosrae. They are small islands, and they compose the Federated State of Micronesia. And up there is the Northern Mariana Islands, which compose the U.S. territory of Guam, Saipan, and other small islands and atoll. And then here is Palau, which is the Republic of Palau. So the whole area is called the region of Micronesia, and we are here in the Philippines. All right, going back to the visitors of Chuuk, there are only three types of visitors going to Chuuk. Number one are the divers. Chuuk is called the divers haven, in the FSM and in the Pacific Ocean. Most of the divers are Japanese because of the shipwrecks and other military planes and tanks during the Second World War. That is the most visited place. If you are in the island, you don't see a lot of, tourist areas in the island. It is very poor, but the richness of the island is not on the island, but under the water. So you need to be a diver if you want to enjoy Chuuk. And there are lots of things to see under the sea. The second type of visitors that goes to Chuuk are the missionaries. There are several missionaries in Chuuk across the Federated States of Micronesia. They come mostly from the United States, and some are from the Philippines and other neighboring countries like Australia. We have missionaries from the Baptist, the Assemblies of God, the Pentecostals, the Roman Catholics, Seventh-day Adventists, and even the Iglesia Ni Cristo have their missionaries in the island of Chuuk. Unfortunately, missionaries from the Latter-day Saints swarm the island of Chuuk and the whole FSM. Are there any Latter-day Saints missionaries here? There are plenty of that in the island of Chuuk. We used to have Nazarene missionaries in FSM, but we are re-strategizing the role of the missionaries in the island of Chuuk and the whole FSM. And so for 2 years, we don't have missionaries, but now we are inviting missionaries to come, not to pastor the church, because we want the local leadership to step up and pastor the church, but missionaries who would come to train our local leaders to provide theological trainings, help in purposeful compassionate ministries, and develop local leadership. They were saying in the island of Chuuk particularly, they said that if you are an American, if you have a passport with you, and if you swam to the island of Chuuk, they will send you directly to the classroom to teach. If you are a Filipino and if you have a passport with you and you swam from the Philippines to the island of Chuuk, they said that they will going to send those Filipinos to their stores, to their shops, to their to the construction, because the island of Chuuk and the whole federated state of Micronesia is very dependent on overseas Filipino workers. So that is the third group of visitors, of foreigners who is visiting Chuuk. Because of the low quality of education and the lack of professionals, the island of Chuuk and the whole FSM is very much dependent on the Filipino migrant workers to do their finance. So that's why there are so many Filipinos who does accounting in FSM. So you wonder why we are running out of accountants here in the Philippines. You can find them all in Chuuk. Commerce and trade. The overseas Filipino workers manage stores and shops. They even open sari-sari stores. So they brought the sari-sari store from the Philippines to Chuuk. Construction. They construct roads, buildings. They maintain the airports and embassies. There are the nurses, the doctors, and even some Filipino teachers are serving in Chuuk. Although Chuuk is overwhelmingly Christian society, because they said, they claim that Chuuk and the whole island of Federated State of Micronesia is a Christian state because of the presence of the missionaries. Traditional beliefs, especially spirit possession by the dead, still exist. If you are in the island, you can still feel the darkness, the spiritual darkness in that island. Many islanders believe that the spirit of their dead lives in the whole island, and it possesses especially their women. It possesses especially their mothers. But the spirit possession is usually brought or usually bringing a lot of family issues and dysfunctions in the families. Polygamy is widely practiced in Chuuk. They have no laws on divorce, no laws on annulment, or even legal separation. If a husband is no longer happy with his wife, he will find another woman, marry her, and live with her. Sometimes two or more wives live in the same house. Incidence of suicide is very high in Chuuk. Just last month, 6 suicides were reported just in the island of Chuuk, not mentioning the other islands of the Federated State of Micronesia. 5 out of 6 of this suicide last year are minors. They are children. One of them is as young as 7 years old. Suicide is the number one problem in Chuuk. Why? It's because of the culture of shame and because of hopelessness. If a child was reprimanded by his parents, his natural instinct is to kill himself, to hang himself. They will not drink poison because they cannot buy anything in the island of Chuuk. There's no even good commodities there. So they will hang themselves. I shared this to our group yesterday, that even in the prison, male prisoners would just be in incarcerated just wearing their underwear, because if they have pants or shirts, they will use that to hang themselves. Suicide is the number one problem in that island because of hopelessness just across the island. Education is very low. There are lots of people who are illiterate. The culture and tradition is suppressing the people. Corruption in the government is very high. Communication is very slow. Technology is not abundant in Chuuk. So if you go to Chuuk, you will not have the advantage of access to the internet. There are internet, but it's very rare in that island. There are no malls. Those who are lovers of SM Mall, sorry, there are no malls in the island of Chuuk, and even across the Federated State of Micronesia. There are no movie houses. Roads are worn out. I was telling them, again, our group yesterday, if you have happened to pass C6, you know, sometimes you will curse C6 because of lots of potholes. But C6 is much, much better than the roads in Chuuk. In C6, your one wheel of your vehicle is on the pothole. But in Chuuk, your whole car is in the pothole. Roads are worn out. Access to healthcare is very poor. The only hospital in Chuuk is ill-equipped. Classrooms lack teachers. They lack materials and everything. In one small house, there are 4 or 5 families living there. And of course, you will imagine that if there are people living in one house, different families, imagine the social issues that goes with it. A lot of cases of incest and teenagers giving birth out of wedlock is happening in the island of Chuuk. Chuuk basically is a valley of dry bones, or island of dry bones. But the question is, can these bones live? The answer is yes. they can. The mission that has been given to the church seems impossible at the time, but we can fulfill the Great Commission in that island if we look to the Lord for the help and strength we need. The Lord commanded to preach to these dry bones, and he was commanded to pray over them. When he obeyed the Lord's command, Ezekiel saw those dead bodies brought back to life. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. They only need a witness to tell them, a warrior to pray for them, and a person to intercede for them. They can live, and God can use us to reach them out for Jesus. Like Ezekiel, we are surrounded by the dead. Everywhere we look, there is evidence of spiritual death that dominates our world, that dominates our whole society. And like Ezekiel, we have been given and we are tasked to go, to tell, to preach the gospel, to make Christ-like disciples so that these dead people can live. From where Ezekiel stood that day, you know, his task seems to be impossible. If we will look around us, the task seems to be impossible. But God is giving us this task to do the impossible, because God is the God of the impossible, of possibility. When Ezekiel obeyed, he witnessed the miracle and the grace of God to these dried bones. From where we stand today, the task of reaching to these dried bones, to this dead in sin, it also seems like an impossible task. But if we will just obey the Lord, if we will just do the commandment of the Lord, we will see that the task can be accomplished, because it is God who will work in us and through us. As I shared to you, Chuuk is not the only island that lives in hopelessness. We are a melting pot of different cultures and different countries here at APNTS. Maybe in your own country, maybe in your own island, maybe in your own society, you can see the dry bones, or the valley of dry bones, the barangays, the villages, the islands of dry bones. The question now is, are we ready to accept the call of God, the challenge of God, for us to preach, to prophesy to these dried bones, and to pray and intercede for them? Before we depart, I would like to encourage you. Pray for Chuuk. They need your prayer. They need your prayer for us to intercede. They need our prayers. You know, there are lots of help. Chuuk is already suffering from the cargo mentality, from dependency. They're always dependent on cargos, on reliefs, and everything. We don't need to send another relief. We don't need to send another cargo to the island of Chuuk. What they need is Jesus. What they need is our prayer. What they need is someone to tell them that they need Jesus. They need God. Let's reach out for Chuuk. We have a saying, Rananim. Rananim means good day will come to Chuuk. That is our vision for the island of Chuuk. Pray also for the work of the Church of the Nazarene in Chuuk. These are some of the people that has been serving the church in Chuuk. We have only one church in Chuuk. Our pastor there is not a theologically, a graduate of a Bible college or a seminary, but he accepted the call and he accepted the challenge to pastor the church there. He's an accountant by profession. During the weekdays, he works as an accountant. During the weekend, he works as a pastor. And he said, Pastor, we need someone to help us. We need someone to come and help us. Help the children. Help the people in Chuuk. I was talking with Dr. Grant a while ago, and I told him that in November, the Philippine Field Office will be hosting a mission summit. And the mission summit, we are targeting students from the three institutions here in the Philippines, the two Nazarene Bible colleges, and we would like also to extend the invitation to the Asia Pacific Nazarene Theological Seminary. This will be sometime in November. We will send the invitation and the announcement. But the focus of the mission summit is to present to you opportunities where students can participate in short-term and long-term mission. So I hope that you will pray with us and for that opportunity, that the Lord will continue to send people, because the harvest is ready and the harvest is plentiful. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for these wonderful people of the Asia Pacific Nazarene Theological Seminaries, the students and the faculty and staff. Thank you so much, Lord God, for their lives. Thank you for their commitment to serve you by doing the ministry that you are entrusting to them. I pray, Father God, that you will continue to bless this institution as they equip more and more students who are called to mission. And I pray, Father God, that you will bless them and help them. And I pray, Lord God, that you will continue to affirm your calling to them. I pray also, Lord God, and remember the many places in our world today. One of them is Chuuk. It is like an island of dry bones. Lord God, I pray that you will bring this island back to life. I pray, Lord God, for the church, for the missionaries who are serving there, for the missionaries who are preaching Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you will equip them and empower them. And I pray, Lord God, that you will revive the islands through them. Thank you so much, Lord God. We praise you and we glorify your name. In Christ's name we pray.